Morning. Welcome to the divine service here at Zion Lutheran Church, where we receive the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of life everlasting. Let us begin our worship this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, August 7th, 2022 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Ron and Janet Estel and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 663, Rise My Soul to Watch and Pray, hymn number 663, found in the Lutheran service book. Donna McLaughlin is sponsoring you. On the altar to the glory of God in loving memory of Scott McLaughlin's birthday on August 15th. Reverend Charles and Nancy Olander are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in memory of the 63 million unborn children and in thankfulness for all of our birthdays.
Let us rise. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our responsive song. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of men.
From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds.
The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love.
That he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith, not by sight, in the way that leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost from the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter, beginning at the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven, number the stars, if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review. In regards to the office of the keys, what do you believe according to these words?
I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the congregation, and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself.
The epistle reading from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by, watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the Chosen One." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 666, O Little Flock, Fear Not the Foe. Hymn number 666 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning was today's gospel reading, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this week we're going to continue looking at the tree of the cross, and today quite literally the tree of the cross, as our gospel reading pointed out for us, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. This is what the Old Testament lessons readings over the past several weeks were pointing to, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the seed of the woman who crushed the serpent's head. He is the substitute provided by God. He is the great Passover lamb who has been sacrificed. He is David's son who slayed the giant Satan for us. He is the Savior who is sealed in the lion's den of death. All the things of the Old Testament are pointing to this one climactic moment in the world's history. After 3 years of his ministry, the Jewish leaders accused Jesus of blasphemy, of speaking lies and insults against God. They sought ways to take him, to have him put to death because he was getting too powerful among the people. So they looked for a time when the crowds would not be around. They bribed Judas to turn Jesus over to them. Jesus shared one final Passover with his disciples, and then he was betrayed by Judas and handed over to the Jewish leaders. They worked quickly behind the scenes to get Jesus falsely convicted, to get Jesus sentenced to death by the Roman governor Pilate. Jesus then willingly went to the cross to die for the sins of the world. St. Luke writes for us, as they led Jesus away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country. They laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. Later, Luke writes, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Jesus, in that moment, reveals the love that fills him. Though he has every reason to lash out, every reason to be mad and angry at the ungrateful people who he came to save, whose sins nailed him to the tree, he pleaded instead for the Heavenly Father to turn his wrath away from the people and onto himself instead, to give Jesus the punishment that we deserve and to give us the forgiveness that Jesus has earned. In essence, Jesus was saying, Father, unleash your wrath upon me. Let me take the punishment in their place. Luke continues, one of the criminals who were crucified with Jesus railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the just rewards for our sins. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Many Christians have found great comfort in Jesus' promise to the repentant thief at Jesus' side. After all, this was a deathbed confession of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The thief had no time and no opportunity to make amends for the wrongs that he had done. His death was rapidly approaching. And yet, out of pure love, out of pure mercy and grace alone, without any merit on the part of the thief, Jesus forgave him. And Jesus promised that that day, that very day, the thief would be with him in paradise. When death approaches us, when death approaches one of our loved ones, what sweeter promise can Jesus Christ give when we are racked with guilt, overcome with remorse and regret over the things we have said and done, or the things we should have said and didn't, or the things we should have done and didn't do? Jesus suffered for all those sins as our substitute. He completely satisfied the wrath of God, and now we can die in peace, knowing our Savior will bring us home to him. The gospel records seven sayings Jesus spoke from the cross. Luke gave us just the first two. We turn to John's gospel for the third that Jesus said. After saying this, Jesus saw his mother Mary standing by the cross with his disciple John. And knowing that he would no longer be on earth to provide for his mother, Jesus entrusted his mom into John's safe keeping. He told Mary, Woman, behold your son. And he looked at John and said, Behold your mother. Even in the midst of suffering, the punishment for all of our sins, of all the people of all time, what does Jesus do? He still cares about his mom. He still fulfills his obligation to provide for her. By this word, we know that Joseph, Mary's husband, had already died. If he had not died, it would have been Joseph who was taking care of her. But Joseph is no longer in the picture. John is faithful to his charge, taking Mary into his home from that very day. And as we return to the Gospel of St. Luke, we reach noon when Jesus was cast into utter darkness. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun's light had faded. In his parables, Jesus often spoke of the judgment that is to come, how believers would be welcomed into the glorious presence of God, while unbelievers would be bound hand and foot, cast into the outer darkness, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now the bitter agony of hell had come upon Jesus. His hands and his feet were immobilized by the nails of the cross. Cast into the utter darkness, Jesus was, the darkness of a sunless sky. He endured the fiery wrath of God over all of our sins. Jesus paid for each of our sins, moment by moment. His heel was being bruised at that moment by the serpent's fangs. He was the ram caught in the thicket by his horns, sacrificed as our substitute. He was the Passover lamb shedding his blood that the angel of death might pass us over on the day of judgment. Finally, at the end of those three dread hours, Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? We are the ones who should have been forsaken. Throughout this lifetime and throughout all eternity, suffering the agony and the undying fires of hell. But Jesus suffered that in our place. He took in his flesh the punishment that we earned and deserved. And as a result of what Jesus has done, we who confess our sins and trust in him will never know what it is to be truly forsaken by God. Shortly thereafter, John records the completion of Jesus' suffering and payment for our sins. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, he said, to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. Then after drinking the sour wine, he loudly proclaimed the completion of our salvation. It is finished. Jesus used one word to say that. It's a Greek word. It's telestai. It's an accounting word, I guess, if we were to term it something in English. And it's a word that brings us great comfort. We would be able to translate that word, paid in full. The debt of our sins are paid in full. There is nothing that we need to do to earn our place in heaven or to win our place in God's heaven. There is no punishment in this life or after. There is no purgatory. Nothing awaits us when we die but the outstretched hands of our Savior and to meet God, our Heavenly Father. Even the dread day of judgment is removed. For when Jesus' eye casts itself upon you who believe in him by faith, he sees only his own righteousness, pure, white, sinless. No guilt, his holiness shining back into his own eyes, spotless and pure through his blood. In his baptism, we rejoice in his presence forever. Finally, restored to the Father, Jesus offered his final prayer, the final prayer recorded to us by the Gospel of St. Luke. And Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And after having said this, he breathed his last. And with that, Jesus died. The sun lowered in the sky. The Jewish leaders asked Pilate to break the legs of the men on the cross so that they would die by the horrible death of suffocation. They would die and not be on the cross for the Sabbath. They wanted to hasten their death so that they could take them from the cross that night. Pilate granted their request. The centurion, the Roman soldier in charge of the crucifixion detail, gave the orders. The legs of the criminals on Jesus' sides were broken, and both died, fulfilling Jesus' promise to the repentant criminal, surely this day you will be with me in paradise. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they did not break his legs. Instead, a soldier took a spear and pierced his ribs, and out flowed blood and water from the wound, proving without a doubt that Jesus was indeed dead. Since then, the church has always associated the water and the blood that flowed from Jesus' side with the water of the sacrament of baptism and the blood of the sacrament of Holy Communion. These physical elements remind us that the benefits we receive in each of those sacraments flowed from Jesus' sacrifice there on the cross. By the way, God gave one law through Moses regarding the treatment of the Passover lamb, and I'm sure one quick mention of it and it will come flooding back into your memory. Not one single bone of the Passover lamb was to be broken. And that was fulfilled in Jesus' death. Jesus, the Passover lamb. Jesus, the Christ. And when evening approached, a prominent Jewish leader named Joseph of Arimathea appeared before Pilate. He was secretly a disciple of Jesus, and he requested permission to remove Jesus' body from the cross and bury him. Pilate granted that permission. So Joseph, along with Nicodemus, who was also a secret disciple and a prominent Pharisee, both removed Jesus' body. They wrapped it in linen and spices. They laid it in Joseph's own tomb, a tomb that had never before been used. And they rolled a large stone over the entrance and they left, just like a large stone was rolled over the den of the lions for Daniel. The loyal women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and followed behind noted where the tomb was, and they went off to buy their spices so that the day after the Sabbath they could come back and anoint Jesus' body more properly. The Jewish high priest went to Pilate. They told him, "This man had said on the third day he would rise from the grave. Give us some soldiers so that they may guard his tomb, so that his disciples may not come and steal his body, and the last deception be worse than the first." So Pilate gave them soldiers that they might stand guard around the tomb and a seal to seal the tomb so that the seal was broken. They knew that it had been tampered with. The guards took their watch and sat down to their vigil all night long. Jesus' suffering and death fulfilled God's promises throughout the Old Testament. It satisfied and stilled God's wrath against our sins, and Jesus' death rescued us from an eternity in hell. Satan, sin, and hell now lay vanquished. One last enemy remains to be conquered, and that enemy is death. Jesus, like David when he killed Goliath, would accomplish this great victory for us over death as our champion when Jesus himself would rise on the third day, the day that we call Easter. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Dear Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, thank you for enduring the curse and the pain of the cross and making that instrument of torture to become for us the tree of life. In your agony, you cried out that the debt owed to the Father by humanity is paid in full. Through the Holy Spirit, keep us, O Jesus, ever in the true faith, so that we never reject your work on our behalf or live openly and manifestly sinful lives, but ever that we treasure your sacrifice and death and trust in you unto eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, whose mercies are new every morning, hear us as we pray for the members of our congregation who are sick. We ask you to continue to be present with Shirley Aucamp as she convalesces in the hospital. Grant her, O Lord, health and peaceful days. Thank you also for your continued presence with Norm and Pat Mueller as they continue to rebound from their ailments. And receive the thanksgiving of Kelly Hazley as she has recovered from her health issue. For all those, O Jesus, who suffer in mind, in body, or in spirit, be their rock and their fortress. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, as another school year begins this week, we ask for your grace to be showered upon all our students and teachers, not only at our school, but in all of Logan County. Grant that teachers continue in their dedication to the profession, and that in all things students show respect to school staff, grow in the desire for knowledge, and delight in their studies. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, as we approach your holy table to receive the sacrament of the altar, your body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, may we approach in true faith, trusting that here we hold you in our hands, that we receive you for the benefit of our own souls, that we receive here the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of life everlasting. And may we leave your table in joy and confidence that we now have that peace which passes all understanding. These things we pray in your holy name through Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live or on the Internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you're without a church home, we invite you to become a part of Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. If you would like more information concerning our school, please contact the church office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us now rise for the singing of the offertory. Be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the Lord's table. strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, the life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Welcome to the table of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please rise. The true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you each in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 801, How Great Thou Art, hymn number 801 in the Lutheran Service Book.
I hear the mother.
Just a couple brief announcements, so please remain standing. We don't have any air conditioning in the auditorium. Don't know what happened. Mr. Heibreder came in last night to clean and noticed that there was no power going to the thermostats. So there's lights. The no breakers are tripped. Who knows what's going on? Maybe a mouse chewed through a wire. Beats me. But that's why all the fans are going on over there. Please check your Zion's Light for everything coming up. The August 21st Ice Cream Social Backpack Night at School on Tuesday night. So lots of things going on. And may the Lord bless all of you, your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.